G'day friends, and welcome to a special bonus episode of Wayspotters. Jamal and I were going to record a proper full-fledged episode today, but when Tintino decided to extend the Wayfarer Challenge, we don't have anything to talk about. So we said, you know what, let's talk about our GoFest finale, and let's just talk about the season of Go in general, Jamal. So, starting things off, how are you going tonight? I know it's a Sunday night for you.
Yes, here in the States, Sunday night, and all of my children, well, both of my younger children, tomorrow is their first day of school, so we are packing backpacks and getting lunches ready and all of that fun stuff, and just kind of coming down off of the high of GoFest.
And for me, it's a nice, chilly and rainy Monday morning, so I'm in paradise right now.
You love that kind of weather, don't you?
I love it. I love dark and gloomy weather. It's genuinely my favorite weather to go for a walk and play Pokemon Go or Ingress or Pikmin Bloom in.
Speaking of Ingress, I made a triangle today. I was pretty proud of myself. I hadn't made a triangle in a while. I've mainly just been doing my hack to keep my streak alive and dropping a resonator here or there, but I legit went out and made a big triangle and
well, got like
1500 MU.
Moo or moo?
Moo. No, moo. Yeah, moo.
Well, what about Pikmin? We'll just go through all of the apps we actively play. Did you get through your weekly challenges yet?
You know, let me tell you this. Let me tell you about Pikmin, Lachlan, as I open up Pikmin Bloom right now. I did some good stuff in Pikmin today. Mainly it was walking and planting flowers, but I walked over 10,000.
You would have done a lot yesterday as well.
The last 3 days, I've walked over 10,000 steps each day. So as we sit right now, I don't know if you can see that, I've walked 11,492 steps today. I did some walking. Yesterday was like 12,000, and the day before was like 14,000. So I've been putting in my steps and planting flowers in Pikmin. I finished a walking challenge, and I also finished a planting flowers challenge. So I was pretty happy about that, pretty encouraged.
Well, if we want to talk about some of the cool stuff that's come out of Pikmin just before we delve into Go for a little bit, you know, we'll talk about all the aspects. It's just sort of a social hangout with you guys and see how this goes. But I really like the new feature that they've rolled out this week to Pikmin where you can redo a weekly challenge. So if you finish a weekly challenge and think, you know what, I got more gas in the tank, I got more friends I can, you know, walk around with or plant flowers with, or I want to do one of the basic ones by myself and just test myself, you can do that now. You get one free out of the gate, but then you can pay 100 coins, which is the equivalent of 2 full days of flower planting, and you'll have 20 coins left over. So it's a pretty good deal, if you're asking me. You know, I know people don't like it when games get monetized, but you know, you can earn premium currency. You can buy these tickets with the premium currency, and it's less than 2 days worth of max premium currency. So I think that's pretty good.
Well, games have got to keep the digital lights on, so I'm not opposed to them trying to monetize something, especially when it's something that's good for the game. I don't have a problem with it.
Well, think of it this way, like with the flower planting challenge, if that's the one you want to do again, if you're doing your flower planting challenge, you're planting flowers, which is what generates coins. So you're actually probably going to keep that up. And I get later in September, we're going to have the ability to buy storage upgrades in Pikmin with our coins and not just with premium currency because they've listened to the community. But, you know, as someone who has not dropped a single cent into Pikmin Bloom, full stop, I think it's a pretty cool way of, you know, keeping the game free to play.
Yep, I haven't dropped a red cent into Pikmin also, and somehow I have 141 coins. I'm still trying to figure out this Pikmin thing. I'm level 29 right now, and in order to get to level 30, I need to complete, what do I need to do here? I'm at the step where you have to do 5 raids or 5 things with mushrooms, the small mushrooms, and max out at 2 stars. So I'm 1 out of 5 right now, so I need to work on that. So that's where I'm at in Pikmin.
So just find the small mushrooms on your nearby and just pick the lowest tier. It will say small mushrooms. Then go in when you're selecting your Pikmin, sort them by strength, ignore the color, just get your strongest ones and send them off. If you know someone else near you who plays Pikmin, you can actually share the responsibilities on that mushroom.
See, I've been sorting by color and by strength. So if it's a small brown mushroom, I'll send my strongest brown Pikmin.
If it's a small mushroom, just sort it by strength and just send them off, and you'll probably get that completed with 2 stars quite easily.
That's good to know. Maddie G has been checking on me. you know, since Seattle Go Fest, he's been my Pikmin guy. So he's been checking on me, trying to figure out where I'm in with Pikmin. So when he hears this, he'll understand I'm at level 29. And remember, Seattle Go Fest, I was level 3. So I've made quite the come up since a month and a half ago.
Well, since last weekend, I was at level 43 last weekend, a week ago. I have really, because I've not been doing much, I've been going for walks. I've been really playing Pikmin a lot this week, and I've gone up to level 48. Because I have all the steps in the bank, so I don't have to worry about the steps. I've got 2.17 million steps in the bank. Like,
I think we're pretty close on steps. I am 2.9 million in steps. So
you've got more experience than me, Jamal.
Right. Well, you remember, I walk a lot at work, so I try to go on at least one, if not two, 15-minute walks when I'm at work every single day. And that's been spurred on by the daily incense that Niantic has been generous enough to give us. And I work... You didn't... When you were in Charlotte, you didn't see the area where I worked, but I
saw the building.
My building, it's a huge, like, square, so I can walk, like... probably 12 minutes in a straight line before I have to make any kind of turn. So, you know, I'm 12 minutes down, then I turn, quickly get back up to speed, and then 12 minutes back. So I'm getting a lot of steps and planting a lot of flowers during that time. So really enjoying that with Pikmin. And I've got a whole bunch of medals in Pikmin. I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm just doing it, and everybody's just kind of helping me. So I'm just walking and planting flowers and feeding things and giving them nectar and putting things in there and letting it, what is this thing here where you put the planner in there and you do the steps?
It's basically your incubator. That. Yeah.
My incubator. So, I'm just having fun with another game. So I don't really know what I'm doing. I don't even know what to buy if I was going to buy something. So I'm totally free to play.
I just love the passive way you can play the game in the background while you're doing your day-to-day things. You don't have to focus on it. It's not like Go or Ingress where you have to, especially now with Ingress, with how they've changed portal hack times, you have to sort of just be sitting in the app. You can't, because I loved back in the day, you know, the 5-minute controversial hot take. I enjoyed the 5-minute cooldown because I could do my hacks. I could go to Pokemon Go. I could catch the Pokemon around it. I could spin the stop, send out a couple gifts. If there's a raid, do a raid. Come back, do a hack.
And then by the time you get back to the hack, you can go back and spin the stop again. It's like, it was like a beautiful little circle there. So I get it. I'm with you too. I need to commit to playing a little bit more Ingress, at least like on my walk, because I walk by a fair amount of portals. And in the part of town where I play, it's all green. It's all the green team. So there's nothing to blow up.
But you Charlotte can field under triangles now, so you can make your tiny triangles in the fields. So there is benefit to playing under your own team's triangles for once.
Charlotte is very segmented when it comes to Ingress. There's definitely a green side. There's definitely a blue side. And if I want to go blow anything up, I literally have to get in the car and drive 20 minutes to go blow something up. And I just don't have that kind of motivation. So I don't blow. And every now and then a blue comes over here and does something, and then everybody in green blows it up. That looks delicious. What is that? What is golden pash? Pash?
That's golden pash. It's like the best fruit juice you can get in Australia. I love it so much. Okay.
All right. Golden pash. I have not heard of that.
Good old Golden Circle for those Australians. We're not sponsored, but if you want to, you know.
That's right. Hashtag not sponsored. Hashtag go ahead and sponsor us.
But as I was saying, I'm up to level 48 in Pikmin this week. So this morning, a seedling hatched as I was walking around making breakfast, which got me to level up to 48. I'm trying to catch up to Cow in a Suit because he really overtook me. But I do have the steps advantage because my steps started being counted in April last year, whereas his started in October. I'm not going to say why, because I can't. There's some things I can and can't say about the I can say I have the beta tester badge.
Okay.
But so my steps are just being counted for a lot longer, so it's a nice little heads up.
So we've talked about almost all of the Niantic properties. Hey, what did you catch during GoFest? What did you catch?
We're going to talk about this. We'll start with the finale, and then we'll go back and talk about the whole season.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a normal length show, just without the forced dad jokes and without the coal. So if you are listening to this, this is just a nice chill chat, you know? We would have had this chat anyway, so it's just we're putting a microphone on so we can have the debrief.
Here's the deal. In the edit, dad jokes may get slid in there somewhere. So if you're hoping for dad jokes, you might get your wish fulfilled in the middle or the end of the show, because I happen to have a repository of hundreds and thousands of dad jokes at my disposal at any time. But let's talk about the GoFest finale.
Well, let's start with something I haven't historically cared about that much, and that's Nundos. So I actually caught two wild Nundos during GoFest.
And what were they?
I got a Muna and an Aksu. Now, the Aksu, a friend, because there was about three Aksus just sitting under a gym, so he caught all three and appraised them all before I transferred them. It's like, this one's a Nundo. And I'm like, oh, put a star on that. And then later in the day, I was going to go do my clean out because my collection was getting full. And I'm like, all right, well, I'll just make sure I put a star on that Aksu. So I pulled up my Nundo filter, which, if you don't know, zero attack and zero defense and zero HP searches for Nundos. Mm-hmm. And you can save search strings to your search list. So I just have it saved as Nundo. And I'm like, oh, there's a Mudder here. And I'm like, wait, what's this? A Smeargle? And I tapped the date on the Smeargle. And it was like on the 24th of August. So 5 days ago. So like, what was that? What day of the week was the 24th? That was the Wednesday. So my Wednesday photobomb was a Nundo Smeargle. And the reason it wasn't picked up by my transfer filters is because I exclude legacy moves. So, and at special from my mass transferring. So Smeargles are always protected because every single moveset it has is legacy. But this is actually a special legacy Smeargle because it's got lock on and body slam. Nice. Now that's, if Smeargle can ever get used in Little Cup, this is the best moveset if you get two moves. If it ever gets the option for a third move, you'd want lock on, body slam, and V create. But there's no combination where that's possible. However, this is just fun. So I've got the worst possible best Smeargle.
The worst possible best Smeargle. You know, I have not focused on Nundo. I have one Nundo. So my go-to string is the 0 star, comma 1 star, comma 2 star. So I go that's the first thing I do. I pull that up and then I delete all of those. And then I go through all my 3 stars and I look for my 96s and 98s. And then I look for, actually, to take that back, I look at 4 star first. I go through and look for perfects. Then I do my 0, 1, 2, and then I do my 3 star. So I keep anything that's a 96 or a 98. And every now and then I look for Nundos, but most of the time I can't be bothered. So,
So my transfer string, and we'll get to the GoFest stuff, but you know, this is just sort of talking about how we play the games, and I'm sure some people listening might learn something. So my transfer string is not legendary, and not lucky, and not shiny, and not mythical, and not ultra beasts. And for ultra beasts, it's ultra space beasts with an S at the end.
Yes, I had the hardest time figuring that out, that it needed the S on the end. It's the only thing that needs the S.
And not Shadow, and not Purified, and not at Special, and not Trade Evolve, and not Distance 100 minus, so 100 kilometers away from where I am. So eggs, stuff I got a while ago. And age 0 to 21, and not 4 star.
That's doing way too much.
And then I just hit select all, sort by the hashtag in the bottom right. And actually, what I should add is and not hashtag, because that will
not hashtag.
I should probably update this to add an and not hashtag, because the and not hashtag will remove anything you've put a tag on, full stop. But you have to do it at the very end of your search string.
Right.
Otherwise, it causes issues. Yep. So
yeah, that's doing a little too much for me. I'm just looking at the 0, 1, 2, and then the 4, and then the 3, and just I'm so all I keep right now, unless it's like something brand new and I need to get candy to evolve one, I'm keeping 96s, 98s, and perfects, and then shinies and luckies. That's about it. That's all I'm keeping. And right now, I am at 5,060 out of 5,700 right now. That's what my bag looks like. What does your bag look like right now?
I don't think you want to know that.
Oh, boy. I'm scared.
So my collection is currently at 6,125 out of 6,150. And my bag is up to 5,152 out of 5,150.
You know, when I started playing this game, I never thought I would have 5,000 Pokemon, you know, and now I do. And I look, and I really need to delete some stuff. Like, for example, if I look at Shiny and then look at Squirtle, I've got like 13 Shiny Squirtle with sunglasses, and I don't
need sunglasses. No, no. If they're wearing sunglasses, you keep them.
But do I need 13 of them?
Yes,
I don't think I. For what have I? What am I?
Next time you see Just Will, he needs two more to complete the family.
Okay.
Because I gave him the first one, and you can give him the next two.
Yeah. So, and I don't know. I'm not even a shiny hunter. I do not go out and shiny hunt, but I have 1,276 shinies. I know that's probably pretty low because I don't really care about them. But
2,000, Jamal. Well, what's I that? Do purge my shinies. I'm at 1,260. I do get.
So you're right there with me. I'm at 1,276. But like, I've actually, like, I have 3, 6, 9. I have 12 shiny Caterpie. Why?
Why? Cool. Because when you see Mike Nerdlaw next, you're gonna just give him a couple shiny Caterpie. Oh, sure, when you see Gaga Valkyrie, she loves Caterpie. She's like one of my like. Go first experiences that we didn't talk about from actually Seattle. We will get to the finale and the rest of the season. Don't worry. Yeah. I'm going to keep saying that until we get to it. But like, one I was standing question. Next to her and she's like, I haven't got the shiny Snorlax. I'm like, don't worry. Do this raid. You'll get a shiny Snorlax hat. But the raid's not wearing a hat. I'm like, it is if it's a play day girl. She's like, all right. Does one raid, gets the shiny. She's like, thank you so much, Lachlan. And then she's like, I don't have the Pikachu. I'm like, don't worry. I'll tap this one on your map. And she got a shiny Pikachu. So just nice. Saying.
All right. I'm going to give you a random one. I have 24 shiny Sandshrew. How many do I need to keep?
I've purged my Sandshrew.
Right.
So I have Sandshrews. I have 16. Right. And I could probably get that one down to... I like to keep one of each shiny with the best mm-hmm. possible stats. If there's a noticeable like gender difference, I'll keep a minimum of two. And then if they're distance, I'll probably hold on to them and remove the rest. But I'll send them through the Pokemon Home. I'll message the community. But like if it's at a comm day, I genuinely cull it down to four of each at max.
Right.
The problem is most people played that comm day.
Yeah, people say, oh, you know, hold your shinies. Someone will want to trade it with you. But most people I'm not that want to trade a shiny with me. I'm not willing to sacrifice 800,000 Stardust so they can get a shiny.
But if you're best friends, Squirtle. It's only 40,000, Jamal, and you actually have Stardust, unlike me.
No, I'm actually down now. I only have 13.4 million right now.
Only 13.4 million. I have under 100,000. And I'm willing to halt these to give members of my community. We have one person who every lucky trade since Starly Conde has been asking for shiny lucky Starlies. There are people out there like this.
I was almost up to 16 million before I started powering a few things up. So I'm going to try to get back up to 14 million Stardust and just stay there. Because everything that I have...
You don't need more than a million at a time, Jamal.
There's nothing that I need to power up. So friend of the show, Heracross Boss... I was with him a month ago, 3 weeks ago, and I was going through all of my Pokemon. And I'm like, tell me what you think I need powered up. And he named off a bunch of Pokemon. I'm like, yep, level 40, level 50, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm ready to take this to level 50. I just need the XL candy. He couldn't name one Pokemon outside of a second Mewtwo that I needed to take to level 50 that I didn't have at level 50. Well, he said I needed six Machamps at level Machamp. 50. Yeah. So, but I don't have six. I only have two at level 50. And that's just because I only have two perfects. And I only, so here's the other thing about me. I only take Pokemon to level 50 that are perfects. I don't, aside from the first five or six you had to do when you know, the Go Beyond first came out, after that, I only take things to level 50 that are perfect. If it's not perfect, I don't take it to level 50.
So how many Pokemon do you have at level 50? Because you can search for Pokemon you've spent used Candy XL on by searching the phrase Candy XL on your storage, and it will show you anything you've taken beyond level 40.
Yep. I have 34 level 50 Pokemon.
I have 70.
Right. But now, you probably have stuff that's not perfect. I only take perfects.
Well, how many of those do you think are not hundos?
Out of 70, probably 18.
Three.
20? Three. Oh, good. Look at
and
you.
And it's a rank one Ferrothorn for Ultra League, which is 7, 14, 15. And I got that from a trade from a friend, or it's six. It's one of those. Whatever the rank one was, it was from a trade. I've got my Shadow Dragonite, which is 15, 12, 14. And I have my shiny, lucky 96% Melmetal. And that's it.
So this Pokemon here that I'm showing
is
you.
Is that a Shadow Arbok?
Arbok. Perfect level 50 best friend. Well, I happily spent the dust on that.
If we're using our perfect shadows, Jamal.
Ooh.
My perfect shadow Sandslash.
Yes.
Which I caught in January of 2020. Remember before the pandemic?
Yeah.
Well, I actually remember. I remember what Pokestop I caught this from. Not many people have like the ability to remember the Pokestop that they caught a Pokemon from. That's how ingrained this is in my memory. That's it was actually one cool. of my way spots. Hey, look, I said the way spot word. And it was the opening plaque at my local library, which, good work, me. Yeah. I submitted the library and the plaque.
How many Shundos do you have? 10. Shiny Hundos. 10, I have one.
So I have Shundos that were traded to me. I have Kyogre, Dialga, Dugtrio, Latios, a non-lucky Metagross, and Cobalion. From Community Day, I have a Walrein and a Serperior. And complete random in the wild is a Mareep, which is now a Ampharos, but it was during the event, I think, I'll just double check here, it was January last year, when it was spawning in the wild and you could get it with Dragon Pulse when you evolved it.
I remember that.
And I just really wanted a Hundo Mareep, so I was walking around catching every Mareep, and I'm like, oh, it's shiny! And yours is a Groudon. I'm very jealous of that.
But I don't have enough Candy XL to get it to level 50. So it's a perfect, lucky, shiny, legendary Groudon. And which is pretty awesome. That's my only one.
And the other one is a Lillipup, which I caught on the 30th of December, 2021. So about 12 months after the Marine. So I play a lot and I catch a lot and I hand catch a lot. And I think that's a big difference. So let's talk about GoFest Finale Shinies.
Yes.
And then our thoughts on the event and what we would like to see them do differently, personally, from our experiences. So since we last recorded, I'm going to just throw in one bonus shiny. And that was during my daily adventure incense last Wednesday, as I was walking to my raid hour, I got a shiny Pidgey off my daily adventure incense. So that was kind of cool.
Oh, nice.
I did a lucky trade about 5 minutes before GoFest started with a friend who we went lucky friend the first interaction after best friend. And he traded me a shiny Therian Thundorus because I didn't have that. I only had the incarnate shiny. And then we went lucky friends off the lucky trade. And I'm like, let's just do another one. I'm like, wait, I promised to meet another lucky friend today. So I said, we'll just hold it till next com day.
Hold it till next time.
And I got a 12-12-12 shiny Wisma off the next person. And they got a 100% Buffalut from me. So the complete opposite ends of the lucky trade spectrum.
Nice. And was that the Buffalant you caught when you were in New York City?
One of them, yeah.
One of them, yeah.
But the problem is 12-12-12 is not a 3-star.
It is not a
3-star.
Which
means I still need a 3-star Wisma and all of its family for the 3-star shiny deck. So I will hopefully it will get a com day some point and I'll be able to try and get a shiny wild 3-star. But so I've evolved it up to X-Plar because I needed it for the shiny decks just generally.
Mm-hmm.
But and I what did I give her? Just the Buffalant, of course. And for the Thundurus was an 800 dust. My brain's just frozen. It was something fun. I think it was a Kyogre or a Groudon, one of those shiny legendaries.
That's a good trade.
So I'm just going to go in order I caught them. So for the first 2 hours, I got no shinies.
Right.
And I caught 500 Pokemon.
Okay.
So that was fun. First thing I tapped on in this.
Wait, you caught 500 in the first 2 hours?
It felt like 500. I caught 2,000 over the whole day, so I'm just going to chunk 2,000 into 500, 500, 500.
Gotcha. That's fair.
Four blocks. So it probably was a little less than 500, but I'm just going to say about 500 in each two-hour period because my catches went up by 2,000 before the sun and moon spotlight hour. So first thing I tapped on in the second window, I got a shiny Numble, which I evolved into Camerupt, so I now have Numble and Camerupt. Nice. I then got a Hitmonchan, another Hitmonchan, a wild Axu, a Hitmonlee, and I got a Pansear. And as someone who didn't get Pansear or Panpour while in Seattle, I was very happy to get a Pansear now. And then I got another Hitmonchan. And that was, I'm like, okay, 8 shinies in the second block for another 500 catches. The pendulum sort of swung back.
Right.
Then we had Sandcloak Burmy, and it was a male, so he's staying as a Burmy. Panpour. So I'm very happy with that. Fungus. I got 2 Fungus in Seattle, so this is a nice spare one for anyone I've got local. I got a 3-star shiny Lilip, which I'll evolve into Cradley for the 3-star shiny decks. I got my first shiny Shelmet. And obviously that Panpour and Pansy are my first shinies of those as well, so I was very, very happy to get them. And the Axu was my second. Because during the original Go Fest, I got a wild shiny Axu as well. I got another Lilip. I got a male Combee. And again, I didn't get shiny Combee in Seattle. I checked my bag. I caught 100 Combee with the tag for GoFest in Seattle. So right. I was a little upset that not one of them was shiny, considering GoFest rates. I got the Pikachu with the scarf from a field research task.
Nice.
I got a shiny Axu off a field research task, but he was a 2-star. Nice.
Oh.
So I'm going to definitely lucky trade that with someone just to get the 3-star shiny in the decks. I got the Munna quite late into that period of time. And I got a male plant cloak Burmy in the last 2 hours as well, which I needed that one for the because it's visually different.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And then the last thing during the Go Fest with the stamps, I got Chansey.
Nice.
But then we had the 6 p.m. Sun and Moon takeover. Now, we didn't want to spoil it too much. If people asked, I responded, but I didn't. I just said that I liked the surprise. So obviously, Lunatone, Solrock, a regional Pokemon. Solrock's my regional, and Lunatone is the American regional.
Right.
And I'm sure there's other countries that have them, but it's just, let's just think of it, Jamal and Lachlan.
That's an easy way to split it.
So I got a shiny Solrock with like 2 minutes after. I'm like, no, because I had never got a shiny Solrock before in the wild. Right. I had traded for one at GoFest Global. And I got a couple Lunatones in Seattle, but then I got a Lunatone as well. But the good thing for me is, because I was running Mega Aerodactyl for the end of the event, and I put on a couple extra hours worth of incense. So I had it up till 10 p.m. incensed, because, you know, 2 hour incense, why not?
Why not?
And I needed Lunatone XL for my Hundo Lunatone, which I got from field research during one of the past events. So very happy to say that because of my Aerodactyl Mega 3, I was able to get my Lunatone XL during that spotlight period and then trading some off to Countersuit. I think I overshot to about 300 XL, but hey, you know, that's all right. Maybe I'll use that extra 4 XL in the future for something. So I was very happy with that little spotlight surprise, and I'm happy that it wasn't announced. So Jamal, let's talk about your positives. What were your wins for the weekend?
All right. So, you know, I'm not a big shiny guy. I don't get a lot of shinies for whatever reason, and I don't really care. So we've talked about that. I don't have an affinity for shiny. So when I get him, it's kind of like, ah, cool. You know, maybe trade bait. So the first one I got a Magmar. Got my little pink Magmar, but I've had that before. So that was cool. And the Magmar was a 174. I'm like, it's about right for a shiny. And then I got a Pansear. Now, I did not get a Pansear in Seattle, but I got a Pansear during GoFest finale. And that Pansear,
that's the European regional, so that's good for you.
Yes, it is. Yeah, that's good.
Because you'll note I didn't get a shiny Pansage, but that's my regional, so I'm not fussed about
that's
that.
That's your regional. Yeah. So it's a 2-star. It's not a 3-star. It's a, what is that? A 14, 12, 10.
The technical term is a dirty 2-star. To quote quicker.
Dirty 2-star. Then I got another Clink. So I actually had a Clink run for me. a shiny Clink ran for me at the top of the hour.
Did you disrespect it?
You know, I gave it a golden, or not a gold, I gave it a silver raspberry, and that was probably why it ran. I mean, it shook once and took off.
Like, oh, that means that means your ball plus might have tried to catch it if it shook once and ran off. Right. So that means it was failed by another means, not by your own competency. Okay.
So then later on, I caught one, and this is a zero star. It's a 0-11-1. But, you know, a clink is a clink. And then I got an Electabuzz. And I'm swimming in Electabuzz shinies already. And then I got a... Which one is the yellow Burmy? That's the Sand Cloak, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What I got a gender sand was yours?
It's a male.
So do you have a shiny Mothim? Because the boys evolve into the Moth and the girls evolve...
Yes, and keep I don't. This was the first shiny of these I have, so...
Oh, okay.
If it was a three star, I would have evolved it already, but it's a one star, so I'm going to leave it. And then I got a Fungus. I have never got a shiny Fungus before.
Didn't get one in Seattle?
I did not get one in Seattle. Remember, I told you in Seattle, I didn't get a whole lot of shinies, but I wasn't upset because I wasn't really there for the shinies, so I don't get upset for that. Like, if I ever really, really, really want a shiny, I'll trade for it. Like, the only two shinies I've ever really, really wanted was a shiny Chansey, and I didn't catch one for a long time, so I traded for one, and then a shiny Alolan Zigzagoon that I traded for when it first came out, and then now I have like 40 of them from GoFest. But those are really the only two shinies that I ever really wanted. But the Fungus is cool. It looks cool, and it's a three-star. It's a 15-15-12, you know. Which or whatever that means. And then I got a Tentacool, which I thought was really cool because me and Tentacool, we have history.
Well, so I remember Hanky's favorite family. So clearly this is Hanky's way of saying I like you, Jamal.
That's right. I remember when, oh God, this was pre-pandemic, right? 2019, maybe even 2018, when Tentacool was in Raids. And I want to say, or Tentacruel was in Raids, excuse me. And it may have been a four star, maybe a three star, but I tried to solo it and I got handled really bad, like bad, to the point where I still remember that being one of the only raids I ever failed solo because I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I was using the wrong counter. So I got this and I'm like, yeah, right back at you. But that's it. I got eight shinies.
Do you remember what your first raid boss was, Jamal?
First raid boss.
Because I remember mine. And I remember failing it repeatedly, and it was a two-star. And that just goes to show, everyone starts somewhere.
Wait. Tell me your first raid boss, see if that'll trigger my memory for my first raid boss.
Muck.
Oh, man.
I can tell you the gym, too. I can tell you the gym, and I can tell you the raid boss, and I can tell you it was the middle of the night.
Muck was a dirty rotten SOB. I hated doing that guy. You know, I don't remember my first raid. Wait, I could... Is there a way I can search that? There's no way I can search
you can't,
that.
No. You've got to use your... Unless you saved it and named it. This is a neat feature.
Yeah. No, I don't even think back then we... Yeah, I don't remember what it was. But, man, I've done... So, we had in Charlotte, in my city, we had this thing called the Raid Bus. And I think I've talked about it before. Pre-pandemic, of course. This was back when EX gyms were a big thing. And so there's this guy named Phil. And on Discord, his name is Phil from Austin. And he's Phil from Austin, Texas. And he had a company where he ran raid buses. And I got on. And I wasn't one of his mods, but I was one of his leaders here in Charlotte. And essentially what we would do is he'd put up a website and people would go in and buy tickets for $25. And the raid bus would drive around.
To cover petrol costs and the higher costs. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. And we would drive around for 4 hours and I had a map and we would drive around and we would do raids and it was really awesome. And, you know, we'd have 50 people on the bus and for 4 hours we would drive around and just do raid after raid. And it was like every week we did or every month we did the raid bus. We would always trigger an EX raid because if you've got 50 people at one gym, that's EX, it would always trigger it. So we would always just like cross our fingers that we didn't trigger one that was way out. But it was really cool that every week, every month we did it, we triggered a raid boss. So that was really cool to do the raid bus. But now post-COVID with remote raids, you're going to have a hard time getting 50 people to sit next to each other for 4 hours and go around and raid when a lot of those people can just raid from their couch.
Well, I think Niantic should do something about that, but that's a controversial hot take. I think what they have been doing to try and get people out of the house has been pretty notable, and I quite appreciate their efforts to increase the rewards from in-person attendance, motivate attendance.
The extra XP for in-person raids during GoFest finale was nice, because I was in the park and Stardust. I was
lovely,
like,
for me.
I was in the park. I was like, "Ooh, did I put a star piece on?" No, just got extra Stardust here and extra XP. Like, this is lovely. And you know, to be honest, GoFest finale, I played really passively because Mrs. Blame Jamal was working that day. And it was me and the girls just kind of, you know, chugging it out together. And I knew they weren't going to do 6 hours with me in the park. But I wanted to make sure I played at the beginning of each round to get the collection challenges. So I played GoFest in like 45-minute chunks at the top of each hour just to get the, you know, the things done. So that didn't go too hard like I thought I was going to go hard. So, you know, I'm not disappointed in what I did or I didn't get. I finished the collection challenges, and to me that made it successful for me.
So
I got Faramosa. I got, you know, all the ones that we needed to get. I actually got Faramosa the night before from some of the people in your community. They sent it to me at night, so I woke up with the Faramosa.
I was about to say, I'm pretty sure I saw you in one of my raid lobbies then, Jamal.
Oh, I was in a couple of your raid lobbies. I love my Aussie friends. They send me stuff that nobody else can get way before they can get it.
Because I was walking around with Cow, and he's like, "Oh, is Jamal awake?" I'm like, "What's the time now?" I'm like, maybe. Is he got a green dot? Yeah. He might see the notification.
Yeah, Cow sent it. I'm like, "Ooh, Faramosa. Yeah, let's go."
Because Faramosa was cool because it was an easy solo. Like, I would, Pokegenie Abel told me that I would have about 90 seconds left over on the solo on that lobby. So we were just, it was like groups of 20 would just touch. Oh, it's gone.
Yeah, it was gone. Oh, no. It was like the poor Axu raids when we had 20 people in the lobby for the Axu raids.
Axu raids lasted longer.
So yeah, I got a couple of Faramosa. So I'm pretty happy. Let me take a look here at my Ultra Beasts, because I had to go through and update my tags. Ultra Beasts. I have 27 Ultra Beasts right now. So now you got to remember, I got a couple of the Buzzwole in Seattle. So, and then I had 6 Nihilegos or 9 Nihilegos prior. So,
and the extra ones you got from the research.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the Zerkatree was really easy to catch.
They were all easy to catch, Jamal. You could pineapple all of them if you're using a local raid pass and take 2 balls max. I'm not sure if that was intentional, but the circle changed color if I was remote raiding versus if I wasn't remote raiding. And that, I think, is something they should have advertised, because more people would have been walking to these raids if it was easy to catch.
Yes, yes, yes. And the timers on those raids was also really short. So I did one raid at this, it's called Shelter Number 4 in the park.
Is that the name of the gym, Shelter Number 4 in the park? Or does the park name feature it? Okay, cool.
Yeah, the park name is featured.
I'm like, Jamal, you need to get down there and fix that.
No, it's called Shelter Number 4 at Hornet's Nest Park. That's okay, And I finished that, and then I did another raid. It's a gazebo. Yeah, it's an Australian gazebo.
Well, so if we're using Agent X's definition of a gazebo, I think we're good.
Yeah, Agent X. So by the time I finished that raid and I did a couple other raids, there was another, it's not an egg. What was the thing on top of the gyms?
Wormholes?
Wormhole. Yes. I was going to say black hole. There was another wormhole on there. So I'm like, didn't we just do this gym? And so we're like, all right, let's go. Then it was a Zerkatree. And like, we did the Zerkatree because the hour had turned over. So I'm like, okay, let's go. So it was good. I sent out a bunch of, remote raids to people, but you know, remote raids on days like that are kind of funny because everybody, as long as it's their time zone, they're probably out doing their own local raids and they're not really accepting you know, remote raids. But what's cool was, is I sent a couple to Justin and a couple of people in Texas, and it was like 30 minutes before their thing started. So they were all accepting them because they couldn't get it yet. So that was kind of cool.
I think that was the fun part for me in Australia, because we had friend of the show, Heracross Boss, his GoFest Buzzwall was a hundo. Yes. So as a bug collector, he's in heaven, but that meant that the second Heracrosses and raids, he needed to do all of them. So there was this nice little message just like, hey, so I know you're in Australia. I'm going to stay up. Please send me Buzzwalls.
And I think he finally maxed his Buzzwall.
Level 50 Buzzwall hundo, and he's probably one of the few people in the world to do that, because not many people from Seattle were willing to power up their Buzzwall past 1500 CP. So he's a brave man.
Yeah, that's why he has like 42 Stardust right now. Like, literally, is less than you. Like, I think he got down to 10 at one point, and I about had a heart attack. I was like, "You have 10 Stardust?" He's like, "Yeah, I got about 10." I'm like, "Oh my goodness!"
But all those raids he was doing, he was probably getting the Stardust for each power up as he got the XLs for the power up.
Mm-hmm. Yep. As soon as he got it, he spent it.
So I think that's kind of cool, but. What I wanted to talk about is some of the low points of GoFest Finale and what I think a lot of the common sentiment is. But before that, I want to just say I love the two-hour biomes, and I think I don't like the one-hour change. Yes, it's better for people who can jump on, jump off, but people can still jump on within a two-hour period, catch eight Pokemon, jump off. Mm-hmm. We had literal months telling us that this date was coming. They told us before June, the exact day in August, that the event would be happening. Yes. So people had time to prepare and make arrangements. So if people want to say, oh, I'm like, well, you bought a ticket and it said this day all day. Yes, I get certain life events might pop up and you can't do anything about that, especially unforeseen family circumstances. But, you know, outside of that, I don't have much sympathy for people saying that they didn't put it in their diary when they were told months ago. Like, genuinely, people the day before the event said, what's the event tomorrow? What's Lachlan talking about? And I had to send them screenshots of the blog, because the blog was like, easier to understand than the walls of infographics for this event.
Do you remember back at the very beginning of the season when we talked about this? Yeah, that's what we're talking about. So let's get to your low points. Talk to me about your low points.
I think there should have been a one-hour pause for lunch. And I think they should have put it into the game, just rolled all the raids away and just turned off the spawns for everyone during that 1 hour period in the time zones affected. It would have confused the hell out of people. Maybe have like a 5 minute buffer so that spawns didn't despawn and get turned off.
Right.
And then a 5 minute lead back in so you can find spawns again, but like turn the game off like they did in Seattle.
Like they did for the GoFest proper.
And for Japan, do it. Get people to sit down and have a break. Hour and a half, whatever. Because 8 hours in a row followed by a 2 hour unannounced spotlight hour, which in Asia Pacific, it wasn't announced for us because New Zealand was saying the Lunar Turns and Solrocks were still going till 10 p.m. So my brain was just like, huh?
Like, what?
Sleep? Boy, who needs it?
Who needs it?
Especially when they were weather boosted and I need Stardust. So it was... I think they should have put a break in, be it 1 hour or 2 hours, because, you know, the event could have ended at 7 p.m. Like, Australia's in the winter time slot. It wasn't that dark at 6 p.m. and it wasn't that dark at 7 p.m. Or it could have started at 9:30 and ended at 6:30. Like, there are other ways that they could have spaced it out throughout the day, where there could have been a break in the middle of the day for people to get lunch if it's in the hot areas. Maybe, like, in America, it could have been, like, 2 to 3. You know, because that's the hot part of the day because of your daylight savings. Like, just putting it at a time which pauses the gameplay and gives people a little bit of time to recoup. Maybe there's like some research from Willow that pops up during that 1 hour, which gives you some balls and some items to recoup. You know, not much, but just enough to get there and have the stop still work.
Prior to Seattle, I would have not been on board with that at all. I would have been, what do you mean a break? They're going to lose people. But being in Seattle and having that 1 hour break where it forced you to slow down and eat something and hydrate and drink some water and chat with friends and, you know, kind of figure out the rest of your day.
Raids.
That, yeah, do raids. That really,
trades, if trades, I had, raids.
Trades. So if I had just been go, 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 go without that break, I would have been completely spent even more than I was at the end of the day.
That I was pretty buggered, that's for sure.
Yeah. That break was lovely. I mean, that was so awesome. And I just wonder if Niantic thinks if they do a break on a, you know, Go Fest from home, essentially is what it was, would people go home and not come back out? In Seattle, they had a captive audience. They had us there in the park and they were releasing us into the city. And majority of the people in Seattle were not native to Seattle. So they couldn't just like go home. They had to do something. So I wonder if Niantic is thinking about that, that we, they might lose people if they do a break.
But like, where was the new shiny? It was in the end section of the day. Like they put the new shinies that the least amount of people were going to have access to at the tail end of the day. So put that hour, like over an hour, so you can get your 100 trades done. I think it was ridiculous we didn't have extra special trades because there was no real incentive to play with friends.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, yeah, for sure.
And just be able to have that chance to sit down, have a chat with your community, support local businesses who are used to you guys just walking past with your phone chargers, using their aircon and not actually buying anything, especially in shopping malls. I'm sure Mall of America would really appreciate the extra patronage if that happened. But when you have all of your content creators putting out guides when to take your lunch break, and most of them saying, yeah, when Axu's in the wild, and people are like, but it's Axu. And they're like, but the rest of the spawns are pretty underwhelming. You have to really think, okay, why are they putting this messaging out there? Historically, during these GoFests, we look at the spawns for the first 4 hours where they're doing their one-hour habitats, and for Johto 2 or Kanto 2 or whatever. And we're like, all right, this is the hour of basic Route 1 spawns. We'll just go for a break then. And it works well for me.
I think that works well for everybody because everyone needs a break. And I think it's a great time to clean out the bag. And it's a great time, you know, take stock, take a look at your inventory and see, do you need balls? Do you need to buy something from the store and incense? And just overall, it's just good for people as humans to just slow down and stop for a second and go from there. So I like it. For me, on the finale, a break would have been nice. You know, I mean, like I said, I didn't go super hard for this. So I played, you know, call it 45 minutes at the top of each rotation. And I played very passively during the unannounced spotlight hour. But there was nothing that I was really chasing. So if I didn't get something, most things I already had. I don't think that there was anything going into the finale that I needed for the decks or anything. It was mainly like, oh, I'd like to have more candy for this and more candy for that. But there was nothing that I really, really needed. Like Heracross Boss had to get more XL, candy XL. He had to. That was like the only time he was going to have it. But I didn't have anything that I was chasing.
I think that the break, I don't like the one-hour structures because it feels like you've just got to keep going. Oh, it's starting again. What did I miss the first time round? 2 hours at once, it's like, all right, this is the 2 hours I have. And if you're just doing collection challenges, you had 2 hours to catch 8 different Pokemon, which were pretty common spawns. You didn't even need to really have an incense going. Right. And the research was like, send 3 gifts, like battle 3 Team Go Rocket grunts. Oh, so struggling. But I think from that perspective, if the break should be added in, an hour and a half, maybe minimum. So you got your time to do trades, got your time to order lunch, sit down, have some water, rehydrate, reapply sun cream, just rest your legs for a little bit and then get out and keep going because...
Use the restroom.
Oh, see, people were using the raids for that. The amount of times one gym in our South Bank area. It's the South Bank tightrope. Like, I didn't use the toilet once throughout GoFest. I waited till I got home.
Mm-hmm.
During this one gym, every time there's an event at South Bank, we'll just gather under the gym, we'll create our private lobby, and then people just hand their phones off, and they run to the bathroom, which is basically next to this gym. The men's bathroom on one side, the ladies' bathroom on the other side. And it's quite a large bathroom. It's like 40 stalls in there. So it's enough for them to get in, get out, get what they need to do, wash their hands. And by the time they get back, we probably haven't even started tapping yet. You know, it's a nice, efficient toilet break spot. And it's synonymous with us.
Then, then you're nice and relaxed to catch Pokemon.
Because people will often say, hey, let's do the raid at Tightrope. I'm like, oh, it's just a, all right, let's go there. Because the Ultra Beast, which people didn't want to do as much, when especially during that 4 hour, that 2 hour end period, I'm like, okay, you need to use the bathroom.
Yes. Well, you know, one thing that I did notice during the 2 hour period was I was a lot more likely to want to do grunts versus the 1 hour. So I had the whole extra time, like, yeah, sure, I'll do three grunts. But in a 1 hour time frame, those grunts are so annoying that you don't necessarily want to take the time to do the grunt.
Okay, so now downsides outside of the break that they should include. I still don't love raid and wild catches because not everyone has a Pokeball Plus, a Pokemon Go Plus, or if you're listening to this in the future, a Pokemon Go Plus Plus. And I'm saying that because that was an announced device by Niantic and Pokemon Company back in 2020. So I'm just waiting for it patiently.
Right. Blame it on the pandemic.
Well, I think it actually has to do with pandemic. And we'll talk about Pokemon Sleep eventually because I know Niantic has a hand in that. And we can technically bring it into our jurisdiction.
Yes, we can.
So not everyone has the ability just to do that while they're in a raid lobby because incense was spawning frequently, even if you were stationary. Which meant every 30 to 40 seconds, there was another spawn there. 2 minutes of a raid lobby is four potential shiny checks, plus
sure is.
2 minutes in the raid and then catching the raid. You're missing like 10 checks of like unknowns, right. The regionals, whatever. So that's something I didn't like. I would much have rather Sunday or today for Jamal be a raid day. Or like we unlock the Ultra Beast from Field Research. And
isn't
then
what we did last year?
Well, if you
didn't
think
we
back,
have raid day on the Sunday? Was it when it, was that we had the raid day?
Well, GoFest this year we had day one, day two, where there were raids both days, but raids were more preferable on another day. That was when Nihiligo was released. But I would much rather the Ultra Beast the in-field research tasks that you can pick up from stops. Yes, they're probably not going to make as much money, and then have the Sunday be a raid focus, or this is gonna shock the internet. Do what you do for in-person events, where if you have a ticket, you get a different spawn pool. So
I like that idea.
For some reason, and I'm sure it was just in Asia Pacific, Niantic pressed the wrong button. We had Pikachu spawning without a scarf. But off incense and research, he was wearing the scarf. Or Gracidia flowers if it was from Shaman Research.
It's, you know, Asia Pacific should, when they announce an event, they should announce the makeup event for Asia Pacific and just get it over with because it's going to happen.
I don't think we're going to get a makeup this time. And that was with hours of login difficulties that Niantic support tweeted about.
Was that login difficulties for everybody or was that Facebook login again? I didn't really look at it.
I had the hanging screen for a little bit, but not enough to really peeve me off.
Yeah.
Just my standard amount of login difficulties because there's a huge issues at the moment with just open the app sometimes. Like it will just be like, hey, log in again, log in again, log in again. I'm like, I'm still fucking logged in. I have the same internet connection.
You didn't have that issue in the States, did you? So that's
Yes, I did.
Oh,
yes,
you
I did.
Wow.
I did.
Okay.
It's affecting players worldwide, that login issue.
You know, I used to get the blue screen. Remember, you'd log in, you get the blue screen, looks like clouds. I had to delete the app and re-download it to get it to fix. And then when they put out that patch, it fixed it. So,
raids rockets don't work well with wild spawns if there's incense locked spawns. However, if you do what's done at an in-person event and which they have proved time and time again, even like a couple weekends ago with the Japan GoFest Saturday makeup 4 hours, they were wild spawns. They just replaced your regular spawns. If you still want to have the free component, make it so that players who are playing for free see regular Pikachu, right?
Mm-hmm.
And regular Pikachu is whatever that hour's special spawn is. So that way the spawns are the same, but this one Pokemon, because they can do individualized swaps. Ticket holders, non-ticket holders will see placeholder common Pokemon during these events, and ticket holders won't see that. They'll see the actual event spawns because needing incense it's great for play from home accessibility. However, if you're out at a park, the incense spawn, you have to press that every time. I would much rather be able to jump in a raid and say that Tropius is probably not going to despawn on me.
Right.
I don't have to have this FOMO from the incense.
Well, so I think that pushes some players to go out and get peripherals, where people like you, who has a peripheral but prefers to hand catch, would drive them to use a peripheral on days like this. Because you're right, if you know it's the Tropius time and you know you might not be able to get another Tropius until next year's Go Fest, and you really want to power one up for Go Battle League, you're going to skip the raid so you can hit those Tropius.
Correct.
Unless you have a peripheral, you know, a Go Plus Plus.
But if I know Pokeball the Tropius Plus is in the wild, I'm less likely to skip the raid. Because it's going to sit there, I can do the raid, and spawns last 15, 30, or 45 minutes, or an hour.
But so if it's on your incense...
If it's on your incense, I've lost 7 potential Tropius doing that raid.
Exactly.
So that was in the back of my head, I was trying not to think about it. Because I didn't actually have Weather Boost this time, so I actually got a rank 8 Great League Tropius, and I was very happy with that. And I sent a screenshot to Fish, and I'm like, Fish, look, look! I could be good at Great League! And so that's sort of another thing, you can do it for these events. You've done it when we've had the makeup events for ticket holders. You've had separate pools. When the Safari Zone's from home, you had a different spawn pool to everyone else. They can do it, and you're still spawning same Pokemon, same IVs. It's not like you have to load individualized across the globe. It's just pool one, pool two. They already have a pool one, pool two feature for people who get one of the 7-day strikes where their spawns get affected.
Yes.
So they can do it in tandem without breaking
things. Well, we don't know what scale would do if that would break things. It might. No, it might
the
not.
The simple thing is, if it's an event spawn, instead spawn blank. Like Pikachu, Eevee, whatever's like a common Pokemon that can't be shiny that people wouldn't care about, like Purloin or something, you know? just like common trash. That
I was going to say Pidgey. I was going to say Pidgey, but Pidgey can't be shiny. So just Tata, but it can't.
But like stuff that people won't care about as much.
That makes sense, yeah.
And having the blog post say, if you're not a ticket holder, you will see these Pokemon instead of blah. So at the end of the day, you catch like 12. I was like, oh, and that would have been, oh, damn, I weirdly wish I got a ticket now. Instead of, and the same with the unknowns, you know? I don't like that they're only on incense. I don't know what the current team at Niantic's on about with the unknowns, but unknown question mark is the has not been seen since 2018 in the wild.
That's right.
Now, I'm saying this as unknown question marks now the only one I need after getting unknown X. So
didn't somebody in our crew in Seattle have an unknown queue that they were willing to trade?
Question mark, not a queue. I have a queue, but not a question mark
question
unknown.
Question mark, yes, okay.
Which was only for GoFest 2018.
You know something that we forgot to mention on our last show, Lachlan? We have a lot of new Twitter followers.
Do we?
Yes, we do. Ken from the Lured Up podcast, an owner of the Pokemon Professor Network, which powers Wastewater's podcast, did a giveaway. He gave away a $25 gift card. We talked about this. You talked about this in closing on how people could win the gift card. But part of the qualifications to get the gift card was to follow Lured Up and to follow Wastewater. So if any of our new Twitter followers are listening to us now, this is a bonus episode where we're talking about GoFest. But welcome to Wastewater's. Please feel free to interact with us on Twitter. I think some people will tell you that you send us a message and we'll answer right back. Either Lachlan will answer or I will answer.
Although if you do say this is for Jamal, Lachlan will not open the message.
Yes, he won't.
Jamal just doesn't get a push notification if I check the push notification.
And there's some things that are Lachlan's specialty and there's some things that are my specialty. One of the things that one of my specialties for our new Twitter followers are if you want me to stalk your area and help you find way spots, I will definitely do that. If you want to jump on a Zoom call and, you know, drive the Google car around your town and find way spots and help you write descriptions and all of that, I will do it. When it comes to really tactical things, Lachlan is excellent at that. And when it comes to like, is this going to bend the rules and how can we do this right? Lachlan is excellent at that as well. So he is our Asia Pacific person.
Correspondent.
I love that. correspondent. So, yeah, so welcome to our new Twitter followers. And if we have anybody that this is your first episode of Wastespotters that you're listening to, welcome. And big news, Lachlan, we just re-uploaded episode one.
Oh, you found
so
it.
It's back on the feed. So it's out of order when you're looking. It's going to be in between episode 33 and the bonus episode, but episode one is back on. And I looked today, and I'll tell you, episode one was re-uploaded this morning, Sunday morning, the 28th in the States, and 67 people have gone back and re-listened to episode one. I also went back and re-listened to episode one, Lachlan. I'll tell you this, we've gotten so much better in 34 episodes. I was like, ooh, when I tweeted out the message, I was like, be nice. It was our very first episode, but it's good to have episode one back on the feed so people can go back and hear our first episode.
So let's talk about some more negatives and then we can get your hot takes from the event. This is something that comes up every time Niantic does events like this. They didn't communicate something. They didn't put in the blog post, at least where Lachlan could see, and Lachlan reads these things, actually reads these things, not just looks at an infographic and makes their own decisions. They didn't mention the 7-kilometer eggs would change every 2 hours. They didn't mention there would be 7-kilometer eggs. So they just said the quarter hatch distance, or half hatch distance, and then my incubators made it go super fast. So that was really frustrating, because to then see when I'm checking Twitter, I'm like, you were hatching Tropius? Or what? Like, you were hatching Galarian Mr. Mime? I want to see that thing come out of an egg.
I didn't hatch one. I didn't know about it either until after it was too late.
So I think if you're going to, like, the surprise spotlight hour, that's the sort of thing you can keep as a surprise. But actual event content, please just include that each 2 hours, the 7K eggs will feature different Pokemon. Simple as that. You don't need to see what the Pokemon are, because you can collect one egg and then see what it is. But at least put it in the blog post. Each 2 hours will have a different combination of 7K eggs. And if you're going to do a 7K events during an event like this, increase the amount of gifts we can open.
Right.
Compensate. Like,
yeah, something. Well, you know, like you said in the last episode, you like surprises and you don't want the country to tell all the secrets. But when it comes to how you're going to play the game, they should let us know so we can plan accordingly. Because if I knew that was the case, I would have adjusted the way I played, because I love 7K eggs.
But they also did get rid of the adventure box again. So,
and I don't like that.
They also got rid of the adventure box out of Pikmin Bloom as well. Not just from Pokemon Go. So who knows what they're going to do for the Season of Light. But, so, right. You know, just... That was a bit of a frustrating point. And the last point that's a little bit frustrating, and it's frustrating in events like this consistently, field research. I'm so happy that we had event research. They listened to our feedback from the last couple events this year. And
you stole my idea. That was going to be my
Did you see
take.
The coloring on it? Oh my God, it was beautiful.
I loved it. It was green. Was it green or blue? It was green.
Each of the 2 hours had different research colors.
Yeah, so you that had was so cool.
Like a Theramosal white, creamy color. You had like the bright red for Buzzwall, which was a beautiful red. Oh, yeah. Chef's kiss. You had a lovely, lovely like electric hue for Zerkatry. And then you had the Nihiligo one, which was like a poisony color. But then you also had Shaman ones when you finished the research, and that was green. And I'm like, do more of
those
that.
Those were
that
my
was
favorite. That was awesome. That was great.
But what the community has said and what we were saying throughout the day is, why, like, if you're going to do it, change it every 2 hours, why are these tasks not reloading? If you're in a small area with only like 10 stops, are you going to say, well, do I risk it for the Axew potential, or do I wait for the whatever ink potential?
Right.
And then you still end
up
with a
scarf. So you almost have to be. So, you know, that worked well for me because I played at the beginning of each of the 2 hours and I was in a different area. So I was able to get different researches because I wasn't playing in the same area. So, well, Lachlan, we are going long for a bonus episode. And like I said, I've got to get these children in bed and fed. They have their first day. Do you want to wrap us up?
So I will. No more than 5 more minutes, Jam. So,
and then what I'll do is I'll play the dad jokes at the end this time.
Okay. So if you're thinking of it this way, if you had someone willing to drive you slowly around stops, you were probably going to get more and more rewards shinies, which were better IVs, better shinies, rarer Pokemon,
yes,
than going out and exploring a park with friends just by getting someone to drive you slowly through Pokestop dense areas, because you're getting the spawns and you're getting the tasks. And if it's more efficient to drive slowly instead of walk around with friends, Niantic has done something wrong. If in the park the stops were resetting, you wouldn't have had that issue. Anyway, I think that's my thoughts on GoFest finale there, Jamal. And I'm sure, is there anything you wanted to add in closing?
Nope. I'm good. You can go ahead and wrap us up. I'm good.
We will be recording an actual proper episode 34? 34 is what we're up to at some point during the week.
Yes.
We've got a special interview we're also recording at some point this week, but we don't quite know when that's going to get released just yet. That's all we're going to say on it. So if we reference things in that episode, yeah, you know why. We will release at some point. Jamal and I will sit down and record episode 34. We might wait until we see the news from the Wayfarer Challenge and try and theme it around that and try and get that on your feeds for the normal release drop on Sunday. And this will appear at some point in the week. Who knows? Hopefully before the Season of Lights commences. And stay tuned to our socials, because I'm making a cameo appearance on a non-Wayfarer-based podcast with friend of the show, Fish on a Heater. And I won't say who else will be on that podcast, because I'll let you guess it. So that will be coming out soon, and we're recording that later in the week. So that should be good, and it has nothing to do with the Way Spots. So I'll still share it out on our socials, because I'm sure a lot of you will want to listen to it.
Fantastic. Well, Lachlan, great episode. Thank you, sir.
You too, Jamal. You have a good night. Till next time.
Stay tuned. Stay tuned for the dad jokes, and we will see you guys with episode 34 proper soon. Thank you.
Bye.
Hey guys, it's JT Valor, and you're listening to the Wayspotters Podcast, brought to you by the Pokemon Professor Network.
What's going on, everyone? This is Ken from the Pokemon Professor Network, and I'm here with Jamal and Lachlan, the two guys that help me sound like I know what I'm talking about when it comes to Wayfarer. Back to the show.
Oh, Jamal, your dad jokes are the worst.
What's the best air to breathe if you want to be rich? Millionaire. Why did the girl toss a clock out the window? She wanted to see time fly. What kind of jewelry do rabbits wear? 14 karat gold. How do you fix a broken tomato? With tomato paste. What kind of music scares balloons? Pop music. Why did the orange stop halfway across the road? It just ran out of juice. Why did the Oreo go to the dentist? It lost its filling. How do you get an astronaut baby to stop crying? You rock it. Thank you for listening to this episode of Wayspotters. If you enjoyed what you heard, there are a few ways you can show us. First, follow us on Twitter at Wayspotters. We are incredibly responsive, and one of us is usually awake to answer questions. You can also rate us on the podcast service you're currently listening to us on, such as Spotify, Anchor FM, Apple, Google, iHeartMedia, and others. If you ask me, 5 stars are the best stars, and it really helps the show. Second, visit our website, www.wayspotters.com. From there, you can get links to everywhere you can download the show. You can also send us a message directly from the website or email us at wayspotters@pokemonprofessor.com. Third, for our American listeners, you can leave us a voicemail on our hotline, 704-426-3710. You never know, your voicemail may appear on an upcoming episode of the show. Or you can tweet us a voice message. This is Lachlan's favorite, and you can do it directly from Twitter. Finally, if you're not a member of the Pokemon Professor Network Patreon, you can join for as little as $1 US a month. You will have access to the Discord for the entire family of shows across the Pokemon Professor Network, including Wayspotters, Special Conditions, Gotta Watch Them All, Purified Podcasts, and Lure It Up. It's a fantastic place filled with fantastic people. With that, we want to thank you for listening to Wayspotters, and may all your nominations be shiny, and we will see you next week.